Let me start with a couple of readings. The first one is yet another. Last week I read one of my favorite verses. This is another of my favorite verses. As a minister, you can guess I have a few favorite verses. This is also one of my favorite verses. It comes from the book of 1 John. It's chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. And I'm reading from Inclusive Bible. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to accept punishment, and anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but you hate your sister or brother, you are a liar. For you cannot love God, whom you've not seen, if you hate your neighbor, whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and brothers as well. We have this commandment from God. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Then I also want to share a short excerpt from a book from Pulitzer Prize finalist David Foster Wallace. And his book is called Up, Simba. And for those who strong language isn't set well with you, you might want to plug your ears because there is a word in here that some folks might not appreciate as much. But it's what he wrote. If you are bored and disgusted by politics and don't bother to vote, you are, in effect, voting for the entrenched establishments of the two major parties, who, please rest assured, are not dumb, and who are keenly aware that it is in their interest to keep you disgusted and bored and cynical, and to give you every possible reason to stay at home doing one-hitters and watching MTV on primary day. By all means, stay home if you won't, but don't bullshit yourself that you're not voting. In reality, there is no such thing as not voting. You're either voting by voting, or you're voting by staying home and tacitly doubling the value of some diehard's vote.
You know this song. If I sing this song and it does or doesn't sound like Sam Cooke, if you haven't seen One Night in Miami, I don't know if you have, you'll understand how important this song was for Sam Cooke. One Night in Miami is as close as anybody can come up with the details of that amazing night when Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke all were hanging out together because Muhammad Ali had a prize fight and they were all buddies at the time. And it really propelled Sam Cooke because they put pressure on him to be a voice for that moment, for his people. And this song has been so important for the civil rights movement and to get African Americans the right to vote. But I'm afraid that I have
This morning is entitled Vote for Love. From his story about the Good Samaritans to the 30 sometimes he healed folks, loving people and out of that love recognizing their basic human rights and dignity was a central part of Jesus' identity, life, and teachings. If you are a follower of his life and teachings, shouldn't those things be central to your life as well? You see, without prioritizing love, without strongly promoting the recognition of other people's basic human rights and dignity, you are bound to end up governed by folks who will fight to protect what they perceive to be their own personal rights, without regard to the impact of the cost that doing so will have on others. Now, I suspect that like me, you have been watching the news, and if so, you know that that actually is part of the current reality for far too many Americans. With that in mind, it seems to me that we need to do a better job of prioritizing love, of promoting the recognition of other people's basic human rights and dignity. And the reality of the nation in which we live is that in order to do that, we have to vote for love. Vote for candidates that aren't mainly looking out for their own necks and the necks of the largest donors, but rather those who are looking out for the necks of people that are being stepped on by the power. Vote for candidates who aren't primarily interested in keeping their hands in the pockets of the rich and influential, but rather those who are interested in putting their hands out to help those who have suffered under the rules and regulations that keep them marginalized and suffering. Vote for candidates that aren't primarily compassionate about helping the folks that are most like them, but rather those who are compassionate about actually being compassionate. Vote for love. You see, a certain portion of our society consider themselves faith and family values voters, certainly don't outwardly show compassion, particularly when it comes to basic human rights. I ask you, friends, how is that a faith voter? If it isn't from love, if it doesn't support basic human rights, well, I'd say there is nothing faithful about it. As I said, I happen to believe that if you are a follower of the light and teachings of Jesus, loving people and recognizing their basic human rights and dignity should be a central part of your identity. Which means it also should be a central part of your decision-making process when you vote. You see, a lack of compassion must be countered with love. Not with hate, not with bullying, and most certainly not by voting for those who are demonstrating their willingness to seek to that level even in their ad campaigns. White Christian nationalism has done nothing but fan the flames of misogyny, fan the hateful and bullying flames of racism, fan the flames of xenophobia, queerphobia, and white supremacy. And I'm telling you, those are things that even the best political spin factory can't make look like the biblical love to which we are called to practice. And here's the thing. Don't tell someone that you love them and then turn around and vote for someone who will hurt them. That's the opposite of love. That's indifference. That's brazen betrayal. That's your need to have the person like you falling victim to your reality, that the thing that matters most to you is that you've got vote in a way that helps you and not other people. That's not love. That's self-indulgent, self-worshipping, self-centered greed. As followers of the teachings of a man who was willing to sacrifice his life to show us how far love will go to work for justice by confronting powerful people who are using and abusing those who are marginalized, the least that we can do is vote for love. Vote for candidates who seek to work for justice by confronting powerful people and the laws that are abusing those who are marginalized. Saying you love someone and then voting for someone will hurt them is a mighty strange kind of love. And we need to make sure that we don't fall prey to another kind of strange love. It's a love that's been preached and practiced in Christian churches for far too long now. It's a love that is actually not loving because it ultimately encourages folks to turn a blind eye to injustice in favor of being nice. It seems to me that many churches have bought so far into a come by God, turn the other cheek, Jesus is more of a doormat than a door theology, that we have rendered ourselves ineffectual. We think that being nice and kind and loving to each other means not making anyone upset and not being confrontational. How we got here, I hardly know, and quite honestly, it really doesn't matter. What does matter is that a very large number of Christians practice their faith by this misguided understanding of what love looks like. I believe it's part of why the white Christian nationalists have gone with unchallenged for so long by the more modern and progressive churches. In our short-sighted kumbaya version of Christianity, having an attitude of gratitude means possessing a disposition of constant submission to the world and those who think that they rule. Turning the other cheek so many times that you don't know if you're looking left or right anymore. The life and teachings of Jesus alone should show us that biblically, that song is disharmonious, disconnected, and a disturbing distortion of who Jesus really was. Jesus did not always make nice, even though he was always loving. Need I remind us all that so many powerful people didn't like Jesus that they nailed him to a tree. Not because he was a bad person, but because he did not make nice when people distorted God's message of love. Because he did not make nice when the wealthy and powerful were taking advantage of the least of these. See, he didn't turn the other cheek when the powerful conspired to step on the least of these. He stood up for what was right. He flipped tables. Just, he was motivated by love. But he did not back down. He did not sacrifice the truth of love for the comfort of humanity. He did not keep his mouth shut in the name of being nice. For too long, those with little have suffered at the hands of those who have much. In the teachings of Jesus, we learn that we are to have a loving bias for the meek and the poor in spirit and those who mourn and those who thirst for justice and the merciful and the pure of heart and the peacemakers and those that suffer persecution for the sake of justice. Unfortunately, those who take advantage of the meek have been given a pass by far too many Christians who think that turn the other cheek means to sit passively by like a doormat as they and the marginalized get stepped on, used, and abused by the powerful. The thing is, when Jesus was confronted with people that used their power to step on others, he flipped tables. When Jesus was confronted by people using God's name to dupe those who had too little, who were meek and who were abused and marginalized, he flipped tables. It makes me ready to flip tables. It makes me ready to get out and vote for love. And you may ask yourself, what makes a peace-loving, easy-going, hippy-dippy Jesus freak like me start wanting to flip proverbial tables? Well, I'll tell you. People using God's name for false purposes. Political and religious leaders using religion to further marginalize the least of these. Pharisaical proclamations from Christian leaders that inspire hate and division and at times violence, even if it's veiled in the world, it's like hate the sin, love the sin. And politicians using the Christian name to promote policies that are anything but loving. Policies that rather than recognizing people's basic human rights and dignity, attempt to destroy them. Voting is a very powerful way to flip tables. Voting is a very powerful way to flip tables. If it wasn't, the people that I just named wouldn't be working so hard to stop so many people from doing it. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King knew that. In his speech entitled, "Give Us the Ballot," he said, "Give us the ballot, and we will no longer have to worry the federal government about basic rights. Give us the ballot, and we will no longer plead to the federal government for passage of anti-lynching law. We will buy the power of our vote, write the law on the statute books of the South, and bring it into the dastardly acts of the hooded perpetrators of violence. Give us the ballot, and we will transform the assailants and misdeeds of bloodthirsty mobs into calculated good deeds of orderly citizens. Give us the ballot, and we will fill our legislative halls with people of goodwill. Give us the ballot, and we will place judges on benches of the South who will do justly and love mercy, and we will place at the head of the Southern state governors who will have felt not only the tang of the human, but the glow of the divine." As I said, voting is a powerful way to flip tables. If it wasn't the people I just named, the ones who were making me want to start flipping tables, they wouldn't be working so hard to stop so many people from doing it. And do not forget, for better or worse, we live in a world where money provides voice. We all vote with our wallet, too. When you spend money with a corporation that is actively sending money to politicians and organizations that are actively trying to take away rights from queer folks like my son, you are providing them not only more money to do so, but also more reason to do so. Because if hurting the queer community with money they made from their business doesn't hurt their business, they have little incentive to stop doing it. I mean, I love a Chick-fil-A chicken plate sandwich. I haven't had one in years. Not because I don't want one, because I do want one. But because that momentary culinary pleasure is not worth being even the tiniest cog in the financial machine that supports the homophobic behavior of that misguided corporation. It is a small example of what radical love looks like in action. It is another way to vote for love. We all must vote. Vote with our voices, vote with our money, and vote at the ballots. Every one of us. Vote for love. Because if you say Black Lives Matter, but you don't show up to vote, I simply do not believe that Black Lives Matter to you. Because if you say ensuring the health and welfare of every person in our nation is important, but you don't show up to vote, I have to wonder how much you really care about them. Because if you say that women should have complete bodily autonomy, but you don't show up to vote, I will be left to wonder why you care so little about them. Because if you say, I love you to someone, but you don't show up to vote against people who will hurt them, I simply do not believe that you love them. Now, will you be voting for all the changes that is needed and all the change that is necessary? No, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that that's the case. But what I will stand here and tell you is that I believe to the core of who I am that if white Christian nationalists continue to win out and rule the day, Dr. King's dream for this great nation will remain a dream as we all live into the unjust nightmare that we are already seeing them unfurl on our country. It is time to do something about it. It is time to live out loud the kind of love that recognizes people's basic human rights and dignity. And in this moment, right now, in this nation, that looks very much like voting and encouraging others to vote. It's about ensuring that your voice is heard. It's about stepping up for the most vulnerable in our society when the powerful are taking advantage of them. It's about ensuring that a nation founded on the principle of we the people actually provides a nation for all the people. It's about voting for love. So please, vote. No matter what, vote. And vote for love.
I discovered this week that there's an organization called VoteForLove.org, and this is their theme song ahead of the 2020 presidential election. It's got a little R&B groove. The bridge of it is... And if you listen to the recording, you can hear that there are people, either part of the organization or people that have been interviewed that are speaking. So there's statements by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different people that I'm just going to kind of quote what they said in the bridge of the song. So 6 different people.
Turned moment in our service as we accept this prayer, this blessing, have it come to you as is right for you. Let's bow our heads together. May we be awoken. May we see violence, oppression, hatred, hoarding, power, and privilege with eyes wide open. Even as we've made some progress, assuring more equality for some people and enlivening a sense of righteous resistance against the abuse of power in others, we've continued to live in an all too routine awareness of the places in this world where people needlessly suffer and are abused. Aware, but not always significantly motivated to risk our abundance or well-being in order to make the world better for us all. May we be awoken from our false assumptions that tell us we can continue on that way and still hope to make a better world. May we be awoken from our denial of the reality that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. May we be awoken to the reality that far too many suffer from the injustices of not having their basic needs met, their fundamental human rights met, clean water, enough food, safety, a roof under which to sleep, access to health care, the right to be treated with dignity, the right to be treated equally, freedom from slavery, freedom from discrimination, access to education, reasonable privacy, life, and the pursuit of happiness. May we be awoken to not only recognize these rights, but to also recognize that when anyone lacks in them, it is a threat to all of creation, May we be awoken and encouraged to pursue access for all people to those basic human rights. And may we not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. And in the dark times that we'll surely experience as we confront those who wish to hold on tightly to their power and their privilege, may we be a light to one another. May we be woken to the reality that the love, kindness, joy, hope, peace, and great grace that we offer to each other are not only the only true valuable things in this life, but they are the means through which we can all work to create a better future and a better world. So, may we be awoken to each other, awoken to the systemic damage that occurs every time even one person is abused, oppressed, or marginalized, awoken to our connectedness, and awoken to the possibilities of radical change towards justice when we join together as a mighty and ever-flowing stream. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with everyone you meet. Amen.